Appreciate you.
Thank you so much. Amen. I love the camp meeting. Always prayed for the camp meeting and supported the camp meeting. When we were foreign missionaries, we would pray for the camp meeting. I would be much aware when the moment it would begin. I remember many times praying on a Father's Day at 2:30. It'd be 7:30 there, but we've always loved and supported and prayed for the camp meeting. Amen. Sometimes funny things happen at church. The preacher was shaking hands, and a little boy shook hands with the preacher, and the preacher said, "You okay?" He said, "Well, my stomach hurts. I got a stomach ache." And preacher said, "Son, you're just hungry. It's dinner time. Your stomach's empty. That's all that's wrong." A few weeks later, the preacher shook hands with the same little boy, and the little boy said, "Preacher, are you okay?" And the preacher said, "Well, I got a little bit of a headache." And the boy said, "Well, preacher, your head must be empty. That's all that's wrong. Your head's empty." Well, brother, I'm glad you don't have to leave camp meeting with an empty head or an empty heart, most of all. Thank God. I want to say I appreciate these services going forth by streaming. We'll say hello to my daughter Grace in Augusta, Georgia, and all those out there in cyberland or whatever you call it. But I'm glad I can be here in person. Thank God. I like what Brother Bagwell said about camp meeting. He said it's staring at Jesus. He said it's not right to stare at people. He said, but it's okay to stare at Jesus. Just keep on looking and keep on staring. It's what we're going to do forever. And camp meeting is staring at Jesus. Now, if you come to stare at people, you're going to leave disappointed. I'll just tell you, you will be disappointed. You'd even be disappointed if you stared at you. But if you'll stare at Jesus, hallelujah, you'll just leave amazed. And I'm glad to be here. This past Father's Day was the first Father's Day that I didn't feel led to bring a Father's Day message. It's been 35 years almost. I just said, "Lord, it's Father's Day," as if he didn't know it was Father's Day. And I just didn't have a Father's Day message. But now I know why. It's this morning. It's this morning. Proverbs, please. If you turn your Bible, I'll just say a few things and be done. Looking forward to hearing Brother Dana. And we're just glad to be here. Proverbs 17 and verse number 6. Children's children are the crown of old men. That's grandchildren. Children's children. You know, I've been told that old people are so easy to operate that a child can do it. Some of you grandparents prove that. But look at the next phrase. This is what I want to focus on. And the glory of children are their fathers. The glory of children are their fathers. I'm speaking on the glory of children. The glory, the boast, the hero of children ought to be their daddy. Amen. Sir, if you don't have the respect of your children, I don't care how far spread your fame is. I don't care how many papers your picture's on. If you have not gained the respect of your children, you have accomplished nothing. Does the Bible say the glory of children is their fathers? Is that in the Bible? The glory of children is their fathers. You know, three little boys were talking, and the one boy, you know how little boys are, they always want to say, "My daddy can outdo your daddy. My daddy knows the mayor," said one boy. "Well, that's nothing," said the second boy. "My daddy knows the governor." "Well, that's nothing," said the third boy. "My daddy knows God." My daddy knows God. Can your kids say that? I want to say I thank God, first of all, for men with courage. I ain't got much respect for these pink tea and lemonade spineless noodles that don't stand up for anything. If you a Christian man ought to be fearless, he ought to be bold, he ought to be courageous. He ought to know what he believes and why he believes it. He ought to be fearless, like Daniel, who ended up in the den of lions, and Paul, who sealed his testimony with his life's blood, and Peter and John, who ended up in jail. Folks, we ought to have courage and know what's right and stand there without fear, favor, or apology. Thank God for men with courage. Who are you afraid of? If God is for you, who can be against you? You know what we're doing today? We're looking to the women to lead the way. Blaming the women, blaming the children for the situation we're in. I dare to say it's the fault and responsibility of a bunch of wimpy, sissy men. Courage. Thank God for men with courage. They're the glory of their children. Thank God for men with conviction. Men who for some things and against some things. And we've let the world intimidate us, and even religious people, and they say, well, you're against everything. Well, you right there, you're supposed to say, thank you. I want to go on record this morning as saying I am against everything that God's against, and I am for everything that God's for. And I'm for truth, and I'm for right, and I'm for marriage. Amen. It doesn't need to be redefined. The whole LGBTQ, whatever, is an abomination in the sight of God. Always has been and always will be. And I love every one of them, but they need Jesus. But the Bible calls it sin, and it was a capital crime in the Old Testament. You wouldn't be marching in no gay pride parade if you lived in the nation of Israel. Is that right? Read Leviticus and Deuteronomy. We need some convictions. I'm against alcohol. I can't understand Baptist preachers are not against alcohol. Won't you read the Bible? There's 70 verses that tell you plainly that alcohol use is a sin. It says be sober, free from intoxicants. After you've had one drink, you're not sober anymore. Well, the stewardess on the airplane offered a cocktail to R.G. Lee. He said no. A little while later, she offered him another cocktail. Whatever that is, I really don't know what a cocktail is. Alcohol is all I know. I'm glad I don't know. He said no, and she offered him a cocktail again a little bit later. And he said, this is what he said to her, ma'am, do I look like a fool? So why would I pour sewage into my body? Folks, alcohol is poison. It destroys liver cells and brain cells, and most of us can't afford for any more of our brain cells to die. It's a mad dog. It'll make a maniac out of you. And we need some leather-lung, old-fashioned, window-rattling, barn-storming Baptist preachers to get in a pulpit and say that alcohol is wrong. And warn our boys and girls and tell them the advertisements are a dirty lie. Bud Light. Bud Wiser, you mean Bud Dumber's what you mean. Well, I'm against alcohol. We need some people with some principle. People that are not for sale. I have a friend of mine, a church came to him and said to him, we want you to be our pastor if you'll not preach on this subject and that subject, and you're talking a little down, a little bit thou and tone it down on that as well. He said, I'm not for sale. Thank God. And God gave him another church 10 times better than that one. Amen. Hope you're not for sale. Number three, and quickly, and I'm colorblind, so I think that's green. Okay, good. We do approach a stoplight sometimes, and I say to my wife, I said, we got a few seconds here. I need you to tell me in a hurry if that light is green or what color it is. I am colorblind. We need men of compassion, don't we? Oh, men of compassion are the glory of their children. I don't care how much you know. If you don't love people, you're nothing. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. They don't care. Folks, if Paul said it plainly, didn't he? 1 Corinthians 13, without love, we are nothing. I know a man. You wouldn't know him. He doesn't live in this country. But he's so smart, he has found types in the Bible that I've never heard of, never seen. He is super smart, but he has zero compassion. Folks, Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. Folks, what kind of holiness is it that doesn't cause us to love one another? He didn't say you'll know my disciples because they're super talented or super intellectual. He said, just notice how they treat one another. You'll know they're mine. Some of us need a little help right there. I think the problems in our churches and our homes is just symptoms of a much deeper problem. We don't love God with all our heart, and we don't love one another as ourselves. You take care of that, and you won't have a problem with anything else. Hey, you love God, you're not going to blaspheme Him. You love God, you're not going to break His heart. You love other people like you should. You're not going to lie about them. You're not going to kill them. You're not going to tell rumors about them. We need an old-fashioned revival of Christian compassion in these days. All men with compassion are the glory of their children. You got compassion? Are you a fountain or are you a drain? Are you a plus or are you a minus? Does your family respect you? Or when you get home, they say, well, how are you today, Mr. Hypocrite? Did you shout at the camp meeting today? Huh? Which face did you wear today? Oh, I think we've got a bunch of high-handed hypocrites in our churches today. Amen. I don't know your heart. If you're not guilty, shout and I'll rest a sec. Folks, our homes need help. Let me tell you something. If you wasn't right when you left home, walking through that door right there didn't sanctify you. That's right, and that's true at church as well. God help our families. I know of a family, and when they have their reunion, and this is the way it ought to be, thank God, but when they have their reunion every year up in Virginia, they get together, several thousand of them. Did you know every last one of them saved? And let me tell you something else that's a shocker. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. Did God make hell for the devil and his angels? Does John 3:16 not say the whole world? Folks, everybody is supposed to get saved. I'm going to have to repeat that. Everybody can get saved. Everybody should be saved. And it should not be an unusual thing, especially in the Bible Belt, that everybody's saved. I know they won't be, but it's not God's fault. Amen. Well, let me come to my last point. The men with character are the glory of their children. Character. Honesty. That's where we're lacking today. Just some decency. And just to be able to trust somebody. Some integrity and godliness. I don't care if you got talent or how smart you are. Can we believe you when you say, oh yes, I'll remember that in prayer? Is that the last time you think about it? Well, some of you here today, you're super talented. You're super smart, but not much character about you. Amen. Ain't we having a time today? Character. You know what character means? It means being a Christian all the time. Just being a Christian all the time. If you're not a Christian all the time, I'm not so sure you're ever one. Had my car worked on about a month ago, and after the man got done and I was paying him, he said, "You got a Christian car." I said, "Yeah, it's a Toyota." He said, no. He said, "I can tell." He said, "I just been looking through all these tracks you got in here and all these tapes you listen to and give away." And he said, You got a Christian car? How many of you got a Christian car? How many people can just walk through your house, look at what you wear, look at the books you read, look at the CDs you listen to, and without ever knowing you or seeing you say, "That's a Christian." Amen. Man, I just want to be a Christian all the time and not give Jesus a bunch of leftovers and crumbs. Give him what's right, not what's left. We need some men of character. It's what we don't have in Washington or Raleigh. Got a bunch of politicians, which means poly means midi, and tick is a bloodsucker. We got a bunch of bloodsuckers, but we ain't got nobody, hardly, that has any character, that knows God, that tells the truth, that stands for right and stands against wrong. How many do you know? We got too many sissies. We got far too many men who are absent. You're there maybe physically, but you're not really there spiritually. Far too many men are selfish, critical. Selfish, like the bird in Japan called the me bird. All it says is me, 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 me. Some of you ought to, amen, you ought to call yourself a Japanese me bird. Hey, there's other people, some of you are mad. Well, get glad there's other people in the world, hello, besides you. You didn't know that, did you? You're not the glory of your child if it's all about you. We're so critical today, but it's a whole lot easier to grumble than pray, a whole lot easier to criticize than edify. Anybody can burn down a house, how about building one? How about joining God's building crew and get off the devil's wrecking crew? Some of you giving the devil free labor. You say you're redeemed. Quit letting the devil use God's property. Amen. Is that right? I believe that's right. I believe that's right. I believe it's high time for men to step up. God's looking for one. God's looking for one. Years ago, I was in a service. God gave me a verse for my ministry, Ezekiel 22:30. God said, "I sought for a man." Brother Hinkle was at that service. I remember he saying, "I'm going to die on the battlefield." I remember Talbert Moore introducing him to the guest preacher, and he said, "You know Hinkle Little?" And the preacher said, "Everybody knows Hinkle Little." Brother Hinkle sang, and the preacher preached and preached on God is looking for a man to stand in the gap. I still believe God is looking for a man to stand in the gap and carry a burden and be real. And just be real and be the glory of your children. Four questions and I'm done. Number one, are you the glory of your children? What do your children think about you? Number two, how are you going to finish up? How you going to finish up? Some of them, if you finished up today, they'd have to say, "He sure was a bitter old coot, wasn't he?" Mad at the world. I want to finish up like Dr. Truett did. He's dying in the hospital. He woke up one morning and he said to the nurse, that "I know I dreamed all night. I hope I didn't say anything I shouldn't say, or I'm under the influence of medicine. I know I'm dying, and if I said anything I should, I'm sorry." She said, "No, sir." She said, "You've been preaching and praying all night long." That's the way I like to finish up, just preaching in my sleep. Just want to die on the battlefield. Want to finish strong. Want to finish strong. Third question. How's your Christ likeness coming along? Don't you know we're predestined to be conformed to His image? Romans 8:29. Did you know something? I'm going to help some of you right here. You ought to shout. Your predestination don't kick into gear till after you get saved. Study that one out. Predestined to be saved? No. To be conformed to the image of Christ. Every now and then, somebody ought to come up to you and say, "Are you Jesus? Are you Jesus?" They come up to John the Baptist and ask him, didn't he? "What do you think Christian means? Why in the world does it say, 'As he is, so are we'? Why does it say, 'Follow his steps'?" 1 Peter 2:21. You got too low a standard. You trying to be like Michael Jackson or somebody. Why don't you try to be like Jesus? We're so far behind on our sanctification. This little boy used to call me Jesus. When he was a little boy in his daddy's arms, they'd walk by and I'd shake their hands and he'd look at me and he'd say, "Jesus." For a couple years. Then the sad day came. He didn't think I was Jesus anymore. I felt like a failure. I did. I said, "What'd I do wrong? What'd I do wrong?" "Sir, if your children can't see Jesus in you, there's an altar to take care of problems like that." Some of us have been saved long enough, we ought to be a lot better Christians than we are. Is that right? Here we are with the Bible and camp meeting in America and the Baptist faith and the grace of God and the Spirit of God and the armor of God and all that we need, and we can't hardly make it. We're dragging our feet and mad half the time. We can't hardly. Is that right? I don't know where you live, but I believe that men, Christian men, who have courage and compassion and conviction, thank God, and character, are the glory of their children. And their influence will outlive them. And even if when daddy's done gone, thank God, they'll still be influencing your life for good and for God. I'd like to make a difference, wouldn't you? How's your Christ-likeness coming along? Thank God for my dad. He's here today. Mom and dad's always encouraged me and supported me. I asked my dad one day, I said, "What y'all doing today?" He said, "What we do every day, we're going to go out and see what good we can do in this old world." That's what he said. It reminded me of somebody else who went about doing good. I was on the mission field. He called me one day. He said, "Alan, I just need to tell you something." I said, "Go ahead." He didn't really tell me. He just sang to me. He said, "Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name." Goodbye. My dad is my glory. Amen. It's hard to go wrong with a shouting grandma, praying mama, and a preaching daddy. It's hard to go wrong. We ought to hem them in, folks. We ought to hem in our kids with the old-time religion and be real in a world full of phonies and lies and false religion and worldliness and the Antichrist in the shadows. My soul, if you don't love them, who's going to? If you don't pray for them, who in the world's going to? If you don't live right in front of them, who in the world's going to? The glory of children is their father. The glory of their children is their father. Final question. Did you ever hear voices from far away? When I was a boy, I remember standing out in the front yard one day, and I heard voices, and I saw nobody. And I kept listening, and I recognized the voices. It was my good friends. Lived about a mile away. It was amazing. The wind was blowing just right, and I saw them a few days later, Jeffrey and Jimmy Curley. We always played ball on Saturday. I'd ride my bicycle to their house one Saturday, and they'd ride theirs to my house the other Saturday. I recognized their voice. I said, Jeffrey and Jimmy, I heard y'all the other day. Standing in my front yard, the wind was blowing your voices a mile away. And they said, you did not. I said, well, let me tell you what you were talking about. And I did. I said, I heard voices from far away when the wind was blowing just right. Some of you is a little thick. Thank God every now and then when the wind is blowing just right. I hear voices from far, far away. I hear them up in the heavenly grandstands. You see, what you do after you hand off the baton is you cheer the next runner. Oh, yeah. Oh, I hear them up there saying, go, 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 run the race with patience. Set before you, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be home going time mighty soon now. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't go out. And they're standing in the heavenly grandstands, thank God, saying, it's going to be worth it. Run, run, run. I'm glad when the wind is just right, I hear voices from far away. Men, may you be the glory. Whatever else you do or don't do in your whole life, may you be the glory of your children.